And the officer says, listen, lately I don't feel so good. My stomach hurt a little bit, also my feet and my arms. I don't feel so good. It might be difficult to fly Friday. You understand? Because I'm not feeling so good. Maybe I ate something what isn't good for me, you know. But the king already expect the stone because he really wanted. If I tell the king I don't go to Mecca on Friday because I don't feel good, he might get a little upset, you understand? Maybe you could help me out in some way. Do you understand, Mr. Rabbi Reb Chaim? Reb Chaim says to the officer, yes, I think I do understand, and I tell you, I make you a good deal. You like to make a good deal? Oh yeah, I like to make a very good deal, fast. Reb Chaim says, I have a way to get a beautiful stone, and I could get it not from Mecca, but very close by. It takes very fast. But you have to do something in order to get this stone. And the officer says, will I have it by Friday morning early? And Chaim says, yes. Okay, let's make the deal. What do you need me to do? I need you to let the children out of jail now. Okay, let's go. I let the children out from the jail. I get you the key. Okay, Kinalach? They get the key. They let the children out from the jail. And the Kinalach go home to the mommy and tati. Oh, they're so happy. And now the officer says to the Reb Chaim Parchi, now, where the stone? I must have this stone. Where will I get it? And Reb Chaim smiles, reaches into his pocket. Here you go. Here the stone. Take it. Oh, thank you very much. Hey, I have this stone now. I wait till Friday. I go early to the king. I give it to the king. Hey, king don't know nothing what happened. And Reb Chaim says, yeah, the king don't know nothing what happened. Only we know a secret, right? Yeah, it's a good secret. No more things against the Jewish children. Right, officer? Okay, it's a deal. No more trouble against no Jew. Okay, bye-bye. Yeah, bye-bye. Alright, Herzog T, this is a very interesting mindset. What I'm trying to show you by this maaseh is that even though we might not see, but the Rebbe does see. That's why if the Rebbe says something and you look out the window and it doesn't look that way, like we're saying, Hashem told Noach, go to the Teva. And Noach waited till he saw the marble coming, then he went into the Teva. So Rashi says, this is a small amuna. It's not enough amuna in Hashem. He should have gone right away no matter what he saw. It doesn't matter what you look at, what you see. You go because Hashem said. Now, a tzaddik is like Hashem. The Gemara says, tzaddikim are like Hashem. Whatever they say is like Hashem said it. So if a tzaddik says something, also, you don't go to the window and say, what does it look like to me? You believe in the words of the tzaddik, even if it doesn't look that way. You don't go after your eyes. Now, in the shul of Baal Shem Tov, he sat in the front by his place, and he would daven. And especially Shabbos, he would daven especially long, with a lot of kavana. And he would go home to make kiddush very late. Sometimes 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, making kiddush, because he's davening by Arichas, he's davening very long. Now, the Hasidim in the shul, usually, most of them would stay until the Baal Shem Tov would finish davening. They would not go home themselves. They wanted to be together with the Rebbe. And then, when the Rebbe was done davening, and would go home, they would walk him home to have the schus of walking with the Halak HaTzadik. Then they would go home and make Kiddush. And most of them did not daven till 3 or 4 or 5 in the afternoon. You know, they would finish maybe 1 or 2 or 12 or whatever it was. And they would sit and learn or say Tehillim. Or for bring in the shul. And they would be together with the Rebbe. One time was a Shabbos. The Baal Shem Tov was davening long. And all of a sudden one of the chassidim said, "Oi, I'm very hungry. I don't know if I could wait. I think I have to go home to eat. I have to make kiddush and eat." And another chassid said, "Yeah, I'm also starving. I don't know if I could wait. I think I also want to go home and make kiddush and eat." And somebody else said, "Yeah, me too." Then they start saying, "Hey, wait a minute. You know, if the Baal Shem Tov is always davening so long, and he never turns around, and with his kavana, he for sure is in the higher worlds, way up there in the Himmel. So probably, you know, it doesn't make a difference if we're here or not. Only we like to be here that when he turns around, he shouldn't be alone in the shul. He sees that we're still here and we can go walk him home. But that could be another few hours. Let's go home. We'll all make kiddush. We'll be with our families and we'll eat. And we'll come back. And by the time we're back here, the Baal Shem Tov will probably just be ending davening. We'll get here a little bit early. And when he turns around, he's going to see that we're here. In that way, we'll still all be here. It doesn't make a difference. So we were at home for an hour and a half, making kiddush and eating. But we got back here, it's the same thing. Hey, that's a good idea. Let's all go home and make kiddush and eat. And they figured out that he never finishes davening before 3 o'clock. It was only about 1, so they'll come like, you know, 2:45, and he'll probably dive in another hour, maybe 2. They'll have plenty of time. So they all went home, they made kiddush, they had their Shabbos meal, and they're coming back all together early, and all of a sudden they see the Baal Shem Tov is walking out of the shul already to go home, and it was not even 2:45. The Baal Shem Tov is going home so early. It had never happened before. Oh, first of all, they were embarrassed because nobody was in the shul when he had turned around and he's going home, so he saw nobody was in the shul. And then he sees they're all coming now from their houses to the shul. Oh, they felt so bad. But also, they couldn't figure out why this time of all the times, it never happened such a thing, the Baal Shem Tov is going home so early. And why? Why did it happen like this? Well, Kinalach, later on, at some point, either Shabbos, or Moisei Shabbos, or maybe even after that, they did find out what happened. Some of the Elter Talmidim went into the Baal Shem Tov, and they explained what happened with them, and they asked the Baal Shem Tov. They're just curious if the Baal Shem Tov could explain to them, like, why from this time, of all of the times he went home early. And this is what the Baal Shem Tov said. Are you listening with 3 ears? This is what the Baal Shem Tov said. One time there was a man who was a specialist in birds. He knew all about birds, different kinds of birds. He knew each bird, what it looked like, what it was called, its special song. He was an expert on birds. And anybody that had a bird question, they came to him with questions on birds, and this man knew more about birds than anybody. And he loved to watch the birds and find out new things and hear their songs. And especially if there was a rare bird that he had never seen, He would love to be able to see this bird, to find out things about it and learn more. And there was a group of people that also used to be interested in birds that he would teach. Well, one time, somebody came to this man and they told him about a very, very rare special bird that could be seen in the forest on the top of the tallest trees. It was found right now in the forest. You could see it. But it was way, way up at the top of the tallest trees. And if he would come now, he would be able to see that bird and hear it singing. But from the ground, it was impossible. Alright. But from the ground, it would be impossible to see the bird or even hear it singing because the sound of the bird was not so loud and you had to be way, 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 way up in the top of the tallest tree. That's where the birdie lived. Or that's where he was staying, or that's where he was found now. And the man got very excited. Ooh, I have a chance to see this kind of a rare, special bird and learn more about it. Only special times this would happen. And so the man wanted to go into the forest. But he knew that by himself, to go to the top of the tallest tree would be impossible. So he said to the group of people with him, he said, you know what? If you go with me into the forest, I will be able to climb with your help up to the top of the tree. And what they used to do sometimes, if this was the situation, that they would make like a human ladder. You know what a human ladder is? Like Reuven would stand on the bottom and Shimon would climb up on his shoulders. So there's two people standing one on top of the other. And Levi would climb on top of Shimon's shoulders. So there's three people like a ladder going up. And Yehuda would climb on top of Yehuda's of Levi's shoulders. There's four people. And then they would all be like hanging on to the tree. And who's ever on the bottom can climb up them and they help him up. I guess he just couldn't go up the branches on such trees. And then one would help the other until the bird specialist would climb up to the very top over all of them and they would help him up to the top of the tree like a human ladder. You know what's a human ladder? A ladder made out of people. A people ladder. Because I guess to carry a ladder that long, you know, you wouldn't be able to do it. You'd get stuck in the trees. So you had to have little short pieces of the ladder and put it all together. So the people themselves were the pieces of the ladder. They would climb one on top of the other. And they would help the last one. Oh, he would go all the way up. They would help him up. Well, this is what happened. So he said, if you come to the forest with me, we'll all make a ladder. And by you making the ladder out of yourselves, you'll help me up to the top. And I will be able to see the bird. Now, the interesting thing is, without the human ladder, he'll never be able to see anything. With the ladder, he gets to go up to the top, and he understands, and he's able to understand all these bird things, but they can't see. But it's okay, they really wouldn't understand anyway, because they don't know so many things about birds. But the good thing is that when he sees and hears the bird, he's able to tell them all about it. And they're able also to understand and hear all about the birdie and appreciate the birdie. And they could also hear some of the birdie singing. So each one helped the other. They helped him up to the top, and then he's able to come down and tell them all about the birdie that he saw. But without them being there, can he climb up? No? Okay. Now, Kinalach, the Baal Shem Tov said the same thing is during the davening. When I'm davening in shul, many times I'm able to have aliyas and neshama, that my neshama goes way up to see special things in the himmel. Like the birdie man that's able to see very special birdies in the top of the trees. The only thing is that me, by myself, I'm not able For Hashem does not give me permission to see these things, only me by myself. But because you Hasidim are there in the shul, and each one has his special mitzvahs that he does, and each one has his special things that he does for Hashem, and I'm able to be your Rebbe, and you're my Hasidim. So Hashem says, because you have all these other people there, and you're their Rebbe, then, for the sake of the Yidden, I'm going to lift you up to show you special things in the Himmel, and then you'll be able to tell them about it. It's kind of like Moshe Rabbeinu Kinalach. Was Moshe Rabbeinu the leader of the Jews in going up Har Sinai because the Eibishter chose Moshe Rabbeinu because he was Moshe Rabbeinu, or for the Yidden, for the sake of the Yidden, he had a leader, and for the sake of the Yidden, he gave Moshe Rabbeinu all these things? It was for the Yidden. For the Yidden, he made Moshe Rabbeinu great, and then he also said, because the Yidden were doing the Chet HaEgel, go down. Everything is connected with the Yidden, not for the leader himself. There's no leader without the Yidden. That's why it says, a Rebbe is Reish Beis Yud. Reish Bnei Yisrael. The head of the Jewish people. Without the Jewish people, there's no head. There's no reason to have a head if you don't have the body. You have a head by itself, just a head rolling around. You don't have just a head. If you have the Jewish people, that's the body, then on top of that, you have a head to lead it. A head by itself is Nishkin Inyan. So he says, when you would be in shul, and you are each one, Hashem is putting one on top of the other with his chusim and his mitzvahs, on top of that, I'm able to go up, and I'm able to see things in the Shemayim. So that's why, on the usual Shabbos, when you're all there, I can daven for hours, and I'm seeing all kinds of special things that Hashem is showing me in the Shemayim. But this particular Shabbos, all of a sudden, nobody was there. You weren't with me. So my ladder wasn't there. I was on the ground. And Hashem didn't show me anything. You know why? I didn't have you there to be my ladder, to be under me while I go up. And there was nothing to see. If there was nothing to see, was there a reason to go on davening for all those hours? No. So I just finished the regular davening and I went home. You understand? That's why he went home early, because they weren't there. And every other time, because they were there, he was looking at all these things way, way up in the Shemayim, like the birdie man going up to the top of the tree, seeing the special birdies, because he was able to climb up. This time they weren't there. They weren't there. It was like he was standing on the ground, and there was no reason, there was nothing to see. So if there's nothing to see, are you going to stand by the tree and just see the bottom of the tree? He went home. And that's the Maisa Kinalach. A lot of things to learn from the Maisa about when we're connected with our Rebbe. So of course, we have many things that we gain from our Rebbe, but we also have something to be able to give to our Rebbe. It works both ways. Our Rebbe helps us, and even we can help our Rebbe. Now, in Yerushalayim, a long time ago, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, were two stores. There was a wine store, where you go and buy wine to make Kiddush, for Avdalah, for Pesach. And then there was an oil store. Oil. They used to have olive oil for cooking, for lights, to use for all kinds of oil. In one of the stores, Kinalach, was a tzaddik who owned the store, and his name was Reb Elazar ben Tzadok. And in the other store was a big tzaddik, and his name was Abba Shaul ben Bosnis. Now Kinalach, they did not just learn Torah day and night, because they also had to work to make money for their families, and of course to give tzedakah. So part of the day they worked in their stores,
And part of the day, they learned Torah. Now listen to how they did their business in an honest way. You know what means honest, kinalach? Honest. Emes in front of Hashem. And not haschalem, to take anything that does not belong to you and to be fair to other people. Listen to what happened. In those days, if you go buy wine, it's different than now. Nowadays, you go to buy wine, you walk into the store, and you buy a bottle of wine, and he gives you wine in a bottle, right? You take home a bottle of wine. In those days, it was a little bit different. There weren't so many bottles like nowadays, so you had to bring your own bottle. You brought an empty bottle to the wine store, and the man in the wine store, he pours from his bottle of wine into your bottle of wine, because there are not so many bottles that he can give you a bottle every time. So you go to buy the wine, you bring in your bottle, he measures from his bottle exactly the same amount, and then he takes his bottle, turns it upside down, and it starts to pour into your bottle. Goop, 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 goop. That's why it's called a bakbuk in Hebrew. Bakbuk, bakbuk, bakbuk. That's what it sounds like. But what happens at the end? In other stores that are not so honest as these tzaddikim, what happens is that in the bottle on top, what happens when you already put the wine into the bottle on the bottom, and you take down your bottle, there's still a few drops left in the first bottle, right? There's a few drops on the inside. Now, other store owners wouldn't care. Okay, so they keep a few drops from their bottle, and the other person goes home with their bottle. But these tzaddikim wanted to make sure that every drop goes to the person who buys. So they would say, when you bring your bottle, why don't you leave it overnight? Why don't you leave it overnight? And we'll put our bottle on top of yours and let it go the whole night. So every single drop goes from our bottle to yours. So that way, you get every single drop that you're buying. And some people would do that. They would bring their bottle in the daytime, and they would let the bottle of wine or oil go the whole night. But some people didn't have so much time. They said, look, I can't bring my bottle and leave it overnight. That's okay if you keep a few drops in your bottle. So what would happen? Listen to this. At the end, when they would take off the top bottle, and there would be a few drops, Reb Elazar ben Sadek or Reb Abishul ben Basnis, they would look into their bottle. There's a few drops of wine left. There's a few drops of oil left. They would say, what am I going to do with that extra oil that really belongs to the other person and it's left over in my bottle? If I keep that oil or that wine, then it's really not mine. Are you supposed to keep something that really doesn't belong to you? Are you supposed to take something that doesn't belong to you, even a small thing? No. You're not supposed to keep something or take something that's not yours. That's why Rabbi Burstyn doesn't like when I see a kid going into somebody's yard and even picking up a rock from somebody's yard. I saw once a little boy, he goes into somebody's front yard, he's walking around the street, and they had white rocks that were on the ground by the plants. But these white rocks didn't come there by themselves. The people probably put them there to look nice. And the little boy goes and he takes a white rock to play with. Now, even though maybe it cost a penny, are you allowed to take that little white rock and play with it if it doesn't belong to you? No. And what about another boy who decides he wants to sit down while he's playing, and he sits on somebody's car. Is that his car to sit down on? Is he supposed to sit down on somebody else's car? Well, even though he's not taking the car, but if it's not his, don't use it. And of course, the tashlich fishies, I'm not even talking about that, where there's fishies for tashlich, and sometimes the kid goes over there and he takes out a fishy. Oy, chas v'shalem. This is Tzar Bali Chaim. And it's stealing, it's not his. Reb Elazar ben Sadek and Abba Shul ben Basnis would be careful even in a drop of wine and a drop of oil. So when they looked into the bottle and there was a little bit left, they said like this, we don't want to use it for ourselves. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the other person. Shh. So what we're going to do is we're going to keep an extra bottle. The wine store had an extra bottle for the wine store, and the oil store had an extra bottle for the oil store. And whenever a customer would leave, and in the bottle from the store would be a few drops, they would walk over to that special bottle. They would turn over the wine or the oil until every single drop went into the extra bottle. And they said, this extra special bottle of drops that people didn't take, this is going to be something that we're going to give away for tzedakah. We're going to give it away for tzedakah because it doesn't belong to us and the other people didn't take it. Now listen to what happened. Over the years, once in a while, those special bottles would get full. You hear? And they would put a top on the special bottle, and they would put it into the basement. Because every day, a few drops going into that special bottle, and the next day, a few more drops, and the next day, a few more drops, it would fill up. Shh. Now listen to what happened. One day, Reb Elazar ben Sadek and Reb Abba Shmuel ben Basnis met, and they were talking, and they were saying how they have so many extra bottles that the basements are already full of the extra bottles. And they decided that they're going to take out all the extra bottles and give them to the Beis HaMikdash. Where are they going to give the extra bottles? To the Beis HaMikdash. They got workers and they started taking out the extra bottles of drops that were collected. You know how many bottles came out of the basement of the wine store? 300 bottles of wine that they're giving to the Beis HaMikdash. You know how many bottles came out of the oil store? 300 bottles of oil. And now all of a sudden wagons are going in Yerushalayim full of bottles of wine and bottles of oil to the Beis HaMikdash. And they gave the extra wine and the extra oil to the Beis HaMikdash. And just to finish the story very quickly, the Tzaddikim of the Beis HaMikdash decided that to help the people of Yerushalayim that were coming for Yontif, they're going to sell the wine and oil, and with the money they get, they're going to dig wells to get extra water, because they needed water at that time. And those wells of water help the people to get water for Yerushalayim. So you see, Kinelach, first of all, you learn from the story, don't take something that doesn't belong to you. And you also see that by saving a little bit every day, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, so it adds up to so much over time. Okay, that's the end of our story.